Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
How would you describe the first couple weeks for them?
Relatively easy in terms of the schedule, what's to come, Amy. When looking at the schedule coming in, it looked like the softest landing for Mike McDonald and his new systems. Denver was supposedly the weakest, on paper, the weakest home opponent they had, and they're starting a rookie quarterback in week one, Bo Nix. And on paper, in their road schedule, New England starting over, new coach, new regime post to Belichick, with a holder, really a fill-in quarterback until Drake May takes over. That's what weeks one and two have been. So the Seahawks have been far from perfect, as most teams are. Their defensive line hasn't stopped the run consistently. They gave up 185 yards to the Patriots on the ground. Their offensive line hasn't played well at all. Geno Smith won that game in New England on Sunday almost by himself. 33 completions, a career high, 327 yards. They threw it 44 times, which is not what Ryan Grubb, the new offensive coordinator, wants to do, but he had to do it because the offensive line was doing nothing and Kenneth Walker, their lead back, was hurt. So this doesn't at all look like the team Mike McDonald wants it to be, a physical line of scrimmage team, but they still got away with two wins because of the opponents they played. It gets tougher now. They're going to get a apparent break with Miami and, of course, Tua Tagovailoa's situation with the concussions. And Skylar Thompson's going to start against Seattle on Sunday. So there's another quarterback that won't be the top ones they face later on in the season. But then it gets tougher. They go to Detroit on a Monday night. They've got on a Thursday night game in a couple weeks. San Francisco coming in, which they've yet to figure out in the last couple years, the team they have to beat to win the division. But they have gotten themselves a soft landing to ramp up and learn more of Mike McDonald's system. It's still a work in progress that their record really doesn't portray right now.
Well, how come it's taking so long?
Well, McDonald is trying to do the full meal deal of what he did in Baltimore with Seattle, and that's going to take a while. What is that? Well, it's disguising coverages. It's, are they in two high coverage? Are they in one high coverage? Moving a safety at the snap. It's defensive ends that drop into coverage, outside linebackers. It's defensive tackles that sometimes drop into coverage with zone blitzes. It's linebackers faking blitzes. It's doing all of it, sometimes in a one-word command right before the snap and changing the look that the quarterback just had. And they're still trying to figure all that out. They're still missing assignments. They're still not going to the right places. McDonald hasn't given them the full tableau of complexity that he ran with Baltimore when they had such a great defense last year. Every team can really say this, Amy, but the Seahawks, especially on defense, will definitely be better in November and December than they are now because they're going to do more on defense than they're doing now. The process was going to take long from the start because of all McDonald wants to do. Players have never done it before, and it's going to take a while.
Is there anybody he can count on who he feels like does know the system or can help him be a coach on the field?
Yeah, there is. And one of them's hurt right now, Chenin Wosu, who got a sprained knee in the last preseason game, hasn't played either of the first two. He's really a cornerstone piece to this team. And then Devin Witherspoon, I think, is the best player on the team, offense or defense. As dynamic as he is, just in his second year, a nickelback who also plays outside at corner. He played more at corner against New England because they went three safeties with Kevon Wallace and Rashawn Jenkins and Julian Love. Their secondary is the best part of their defense, almost best part of their team. And so they maximize those guys and play multiple extra corners and safeties most of the time. He's hanging his hat on those guys in the secondary because he knows that's the strength of the team. It's getting to the point where he thinks those guys can cover. Woolen and Witherspoon and the safeties in the back can cover. And so he's working on the front seven and improving the defensive, the run defense, improving their shifting and disguising at the defensive front, the front seven guys. They've had linebacker issues with Jerome Baker from Miami in the offseason with the hamstring issue. He only played 21 snaps and had to come out the other day. Tyrell Dotson has been great from Buffalo. He's the new middle linebacker replacing Bobby Wagner as the single signal caller in the middle. He's really been good. But around him, there's still pieces like Chennan Wosu, as I mentioned, missing. Boye Mafe, Derek Hall, an outside linebacker. Hall is learning every down role for the first time in his second NFL season. Again, a lot of growth and change is going to happen here over the next month or so. The question becomes, how many losses against better teams are they going to absorb while they learn all this?
Greg Bell is with us to talk Seahawks off to a 2-0 start and taking on Miami in week three. Covers the team for the Tacoma News Tribune, and it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As much as you're pointing to ways in which they still have to grow, at the end of the game against New England, not only do they have a big sack of Jacoby Brissett that forces a longer field goal that then gets blocked, but they also force a pair of three and outs, one at the end of the fourth quarter and one to start overtime that put the Seahawks in a great position. So at least they were able to have some success late in that game.
Yeah, that was Terrell Dotson on the overtime stop on third one. He was the only guy in the hole with 227-pound Ramondre Stevenson running downhill right at him. And Dotson made the play as the only guy in the hole unblocked, the middle linebacker, quintessential middle linebacker, Ditka-Butkus type of play. You're right. They, for the most part, through two games, have made the stops that they needed to make. They only allowed one touchdown, even though it was 20 points. It was only one touchdown against Bo Nix and the Broncos. They allowed, the offense was just terrible, giving away field goals, and two safeties in the first half, and offensive line issues galore in that game. And then on Sunday against New England, they controlled most of that game on defense, but then in the third and into the fourth quarter, New England just started running over and over again, which I thought they were going to do at the start. And Patriots threw it 10 times in the first 13 plays in that game. And then they got back to what they did in Cincinnati to win the upset in the opener and started running every play and wore down Seattle in the third and fourth quarter to take the lead 20-17. But you're right. They have made the plays when they've had to. They've gotten some pass rush from Boye Mafe in particular with Mosu out. And their secondary play is, again, the strength of their team. The linebackers have to be better in tackling and in assignments. I just can't emphasize how much it's a work in progress. And this line of scrimmage play is really going to get a test when they play San Francisco. It's why they have been so far behind the 49ers in the NFC West. And, Amy, until they fix that, they're not going to win the division.
Yeah, right now, lots of injuries around the NFC West for both the Niners and the Rams who play each other in week three. So, Greg, thinking about the offense, of course, Kenneth Walker's missing. What's the latest on his oblique strain?
Well, they're going to try to practice tomorrow. I don't expect him to practice tomorrow. The last time he had this oblique injury, maybe not exactly the same, but the same area and same muscle back in November, and he missed 2.5 games. So he's only missed one game since he got hurt in the opener for this. It wouldn't surprise me if he misses another one. That means Zach Charbonnet, second-year man from UCLA, will get the call again against Miami on Sunday. Charbonnet's a different back. He's not as elusive. He's not as quick. He's more of a one-cut-and-go guy, but against New England, his go wasn't quick enough. Their offensive line wasn't good enough to give any push. Mike McDonald has talked this week when talking about his run game that they've got to move more people on the offensive line. They've got issues at both guard positions. Connor Williams is playing his second game in 8 months since he had his knee reconstructed. The ACL tear with the Dolphins as a former starting center for Miami. Their right tackle, they're in their third right tackle right now, Storm Forsythe, because George Fant is injured, and Fant was replacing Abe Lucas, who hasn't played since January after offseason knee surgery, and they don't know when he's going to play again. The only sure thing on the offensive line, Amy, is at left tackle with Charles Cross. So that's 80% of the line that has either struggled or been hurt. Lakin Tomlinson, the former 49er Pro Bowler a few years ago, is looking everything of 32. He's been slow off the snap, getting beat by defensive tackles for both the Broncos and the Patriots off the snap. And until they get the line fixed, it really doesn't matter what Ryan Grubb and the skill position players and Geno Smith can do. Although Smith won it by himself in Foxborough, he's not going to be able to do that every single week when they play at Detroit against San Francisco and those type of teams.
We know that a few of the seasons under Pete Carroll, toward the end of his tenure in Seattle, he really did want them to be a power run team. What type of balance is Mike McDonald looking for?
Well, he wants to be smash mouth too. He wants to be physical and have an identity of that. And Ryan Grubb, his offensive coordinator, gained a national reputation at the University of Washington with Michael Penix and Rome Odunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk, all these NFL receivers they had, of just throwing it 50 yards down the field. Penix led the nation in college football with 49 and 4,600 yards his last two seasons under Grubb. So Grubb had this reputation of just being this bombs away aerial guy. He's actually an offensive line coach growing up at Eastern Michigan and Fresno State, and he wants to run the ball. People forget Washington had a 1,200-yard rusher, Dylan Johnson, last year when they went to the national title game. He wants Kenneth Walker to be a 20-carry.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Big game guy, which he got in his opener before he got hurt. He had 103 yards on 20 carries against the Broncos, 84 of those after halftime. That's the way Grubb wants to play. He wants to stick with the run even when teams are stopping it early in games, which is something Shane Waldron, the previous offensive coordinator, did not do. He tended to go away from the run when they got stopped early in games. Grubb's going to stick with it. And then the passing game is off of that. That's how they beat Denver in the second half, how they opened up their offense, was with the run first. So I know a lot of coaches talk about balance, but it really is in the pedigree and in the roots of their new play caller, Ryan Grubb.
You mentioned that Geno was able to do everything that was asked of him and carry the team on his back in that week two. How did he do it? What was asked of him?
He was, first of all, really accurate. He could have been. His final numbers were 33 of 43. 33 was his career high for completions. And he should have been 38 of 43 because he had five drops. DK Metcalf dropped two. Noah Fant dropped two. Jackson Smith and Jigba dropped one. And then he spiked the ball at the end of the first half to stop the clock with 4 seconds and allow Jason Myers to kick a field goal at the end of the half. So that's a throwaway incompletion that really shouldn't count. He really could have been 38 of 43. And he did it both in quick and long throws. New England helped him out by blowing coverages. The 56-yard touchdown with DK Metcalf was just a straight go route with Zach Charbonnet lined up outside of Metcalf, who was in a left slot. And inexplicably, the safety and Christian Gonzalez, who'd been with Metcalf, both went with the shorter inside route by the running back Charbonnet and nobody covered the straight go route by the 6'4 wide receiver for 56-yard touchdown. So Smith got help, and the Patriots did have some assignment errors that allowed guys to get open. But then plays like Tyler Lockett made in overtime, a completely playground play where Smith rolled right, stopped, went to his left, and Lockett changed and improvisationally moved his route back to the left sideline where no one was for a 16-yard completion that set up the spoon, gave him the yards needed for the field goal to win the game by Myers. Plays like that aided Geno Smith's numbers, but no doubt Smith was great. He was his 2002 self when he threw 4,200 yards and completed 70% to lead the NFL.
Greg Bell is with us from Seattle talking about those Seahawks who will get the Dolphins this weekend without Tua Tagovailoa. He's now on IR, so Skylar Thompson it is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I think we talked when Mike McDonald first got the job and how he was hired to be the opposite of Pete Carroll, but what's his coaching and management style?
He's very demanding. He's very direct. The players talk about, they use words like blunt, no nonsense. He's much different than Carroll. Carroll will put his arm around, used to put his arm around players and be a father and even a grandfather to them in his 70s. And McDonald's different. McDonald will yell at players for not running to the ball. He cut a player 2 weeks after the joint practices I watched in Nashville with the Titans, a rookie corner, a draft pick. He cut him because he wasn't running to the ball from all the way across the field as a right cornerback on a sweep to the left. He demands players. I saw in training camp that some younger players, first and second year players, went straight into the locker room after they adjourned from practice. And he had told the team that they should all be on the line of fans along the sideline to give out autographs and pictures after practice. Well, a few players didn't do that. He had an assistant go in and fish all of those players out and demanded they go and sign autographs.
Wow.
So he sets a standard. He's big on accountability, and he's a self-described football nerd. He loves the X's and O's. His head is constantly in the tablet in between series. He's constantly looking at his play card. He's very emotionless during games. He is constantly studying the chess match of the football. He loves that. He loves to talk about schemes and variations and tendencies. He loves the eaches of defensive football in particular. Where Carroll was more, he was defensive steeped, of course, Carroll was, but he was more of a personality, motivational guy, the guy who run up and down the sideline screaming and yelling and patting guys on the back. Players have to go up to McDonald to get reaction to him during games and pat him on the back because he's so stoic. I find him to be very engaging and extremely intelligent. That's another word that all these players use about how smart he is. He seems to be one step ahead of everything in life, whether it's on or off the field, and he's always thinking about what's next, not what's happening now. So far, Amy, he's never said this to us, and to me in particular, the times I've talked to him, but I think he wants to do more than he's able to do right now in this stage of his regime. Later on, he's going to be layered and have these players be experts in his defense. They're not even close to that yet. And when they get there, if he can find the right combination of players to the scheme he's doing, they're going to be really damn good. They're light years from there right now because of the expertise is so new.
You note the schedule on the road at Detroit. They've also got the 49ers in the next month, the Bills. So what do you see from the division so far, even though the Seahawks haven't played a game in division?
Well, I noticed you conveniently skipped over the almost bye week of the Giants they had between the Lions and the 49ers. I had to throw that in for you, New York audience, back there in the middle of the night. You're right. The NFC West is jumbled right now. The Rams are a mess. Their offensive line has a ton of issues. You know about Cooper Kupp's issues. Puka Nacua is hurt. Matthew Stafford has no one left to throw to. They're a shell of what they're supposed to be right now, and that's why they're 0-2. Arizona, I mean, if Kyler Murray can throw like and perform like he did against the Rams last weekend, look out, because their defense has been rebuilt. That's what they've spent the last couple years and draft picks doing, is fixing their defense. And their defense gave Seattle problems before they remodeled it. But if they can have the defenses improved that it looks like it is and have Murray playing like this, yeah, they're a threat. I think San Francisco is still light years ahead of Seattle on the line of scrimmage. Even with injuries, even if McCaffrey not in there, they still have Trent Williams. They still have the same offensive line. they still have the physicality on the defensive front and Bosa and all those guys that have just mauled the Seahawks in their last 2 or 3 years playing them. And I don't think the Seahawks have closed that gap, especially on the offensive line. We may see that in that Thursday night game in a couple weeks. And frankly, Amy, if they can't beat San Francisco, this is the same Seahawks end game as it's been for pretty much the last decade. Around 500, maybe a 10-win team that could get a wild card because they can't win the division, and then maybe a win in the playoffs in the first round, and then get boat raced in the second round by a San Francisco or Green Bay or Philadelphia or Dallas on the road. And that has really been their story since going to their last Super Bowl in the 2014 season. It's why they hired Mike McDonald to get over that hump. I'm not sure this is the year to do it with as good as San Francisco still is at the line of scrimmage.
Before I let you go, Greg, I know it's been a weird transitional year for the Pac. I guess you'd call them the Pac-2 now. But the conference is playing to add a few teams, so kind of a merger of sorts with the Mountain West. Washington State is one of the holdovers. What's your reaction to what we know so far?
Well, they're 3-0, and they just beat Washington in the Apple Cup. And I can tell you how satisfying that is. My son goes to Washington State. We know some players in the program. Most of Washington State is from the western side of the state, from the Seattle-Tacoma-Everett area. There has been very few in the history of the 116 Apple Cups that have ever been played. There have been very few more satisfying wins than that one this past weekend.
Nice.
Washington State just getting left behind by everybody else in the Pac-12. Washington being the last team that really was the death knell to Washington State and being sent off on their own is when Washington and Oregon decide to go to the Big Ten. And then to add insult on top of that, Washington State's athletic director, Pat Chung, left and became Washington's athletic director, which is blasphemy to anyone who would ever be a Cougar to ever work for the Huskies. And for them to beat Washington after all of that, they're flying high right now. What would be the greatest of great stories, Amy, is if Washington State, even if you're not a fan of the Cougars, you'd have to be a fan of the possibility of Washington State going 12-0 and making the college football playoff as an forgotten, kick to the curb independent. I mean, it would be amazing. I would absolutely love that story, that they could become America's team by the fact that everyone orphaned them, and here they are being undefeated. Now, they got Boise State here in a couple weeks, got San Jose State Friday night in Coleman, but then they have Boise State on the blue turf the week after this. That'll be their biggest test. But, man, how great would that be for Washington State to get left behind but still into the playoffs?
I'll root for that. I love those kind of stories.
That would be awesome.
Very good. All right, you can find Greg Bell online at GBell Seattle, and he covers the Seahawks. But we like to pick his brain about other things as well for the Tacoma News Tribune. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll have to do it again as the Seahawks get about midway through and see how much closer they are with McDonald's system.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime, Amy. It's great to talk to you. Thanks again.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.